appreciate that, sister. Anybody else have anything on your heart? So much truth in that. I hope you all can hear me. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to ask you to turn in 1 Samuel chapter 14. You know, I'm so thankful for God today. He's so merciful, and he just blesses beyond measure. There is nothing in this world that could even come close to the joy that he brings. God is so good. My prayer today is that his spirit would be made manifest. It'd be shown to all of us today. And that it would bear witness of this word, because I believe that there is power in this word. Amen. Not only is there power in the name of God, but there is power in his word. This book has some great power and great purpose. And we so often just push it aside and let it collect dust, or don't even take heed to it. But God's word is glorious. It's something that we need to take to heart, something that we need to take and digest, and we need to consume it and be consumed by it. Now, we're going to talk about Jonathan and a little bit about Saul. And if you don't know who they are, well, Saul was the first king of Israel that was chosen by the people of Israel, and God allowed that to happen. Now, that's what the people wanted, and so God gave it to them. Many times we pray for things that we want and we ask for things that we want, but it's not necessarily good for us. But God will give it to us. And I believe that as you go down through the time, you can read about many instances where God has blessed and God has chastised. And you'll see these things all through the Old Testament. I just want you to listen closely today, because as we come up upon this chapter, chapter 14, this was preceding a great event that happened several years before this, and there's some very great importance to it, but I'll let you hear that yourself. But leading up to it, there was a great battle, and there was a great defeat against the Philistines, and during that defeat, there became anger and frustration among the Philistines, and they were so angry that they gathered everyone together, and all of their people, and that they were going to fight against, and I just want you to know that this happened several years before what I'm going to read to you. And so you can imagine the fire that was kindled in them for all of those years prior to this date. And when I say several years, I mean somewhere between 3 and 6 years. And that's quite a bit of time for frustration and grudging to take place. I want you to understand the depths of what's happening here. Because if you were to read several chapters before, and for the sake of time, I'm not going to, but through that defeat and through the victory of the battle that Jonathan had obtained against the Philistines prior to this, and they were angry and they were furious, and there was times that they had come up and they had all gathered themselves together and they were prepared for a battle at this point, As the Israelites knew that they were prepared for this battle, they realized what kind of of people and army and that they were up against. They realized the frustration and the anger that they had that was kindled against them. And as the Israelite people realized this, they started to be scared and flee. And obviously, you know, that's a lack of faith, as we all know. But we're talking about the Philistines here. If you don't know who they are, they are warriors. They're big. They're mighty. And I'm going to tell you that these giants, these large men, that are known for their battling and their victory in war, they are something to be feared. And when there was this great multitude of them that had come before Israel, they most certainly were out for a victory. And as these men of Israel, they knew that. So they started to scatter, and they started to hide, and they started to even hide in the clefts of the rocks and in the caves, and they went to different places, different towns, some even a day of travel away. And I have trouble understanding why all this took place, because as we all know that in the past that God has been victorious over them, that God has been victorious in their battles. God has shown them multiple times that he has taken care of the Israelites, that they've given him things that men shouldn't even have because of the simple fact that they have rejected God so many times. Now, I want you to know today that this Israelite nation here that has come to this point in time, that they know that there is that they know in their hearts today that they're going to be defeated. So in my eyes, they've already been defeated. I'm going to tell you that many times in our lives as people, as Christians, as lost people, before you come to the altar, before you go out and you do work for God, you may already feel defeat. Well, I'm going to tell you that God is victorious. God has already won that battle. Even in this time that he had Saul as their leader, as their king, Saul was not a very good man. I can tell you that right now. He did so many things that were against God. He tried to serve him, but I'm not sure how capable he was of doing that. But I am going to tell you today that as we go down through this reading of what God's account was of this situation, I want you to know that we need to be victorious in our battles before we ever have them. We need to look to God, and we need to pray to God and tell them or ask him to tell us that we've already won the battle, because we need to know. I know I, as a man, fear many things. I always tell my wife I'm not afraid of anything, but I'm going to tell you there's things that I fear in life, and death is not one of them. Amen. I don't fear death. As a matter of fact, I fear the death of my children and my wife and my family and those that I love, but for myself, I'm ready to go. And I know that they are too. They've told me they have a testimony. But I'm going to tell you right now that death is something that's sure to come, as Brother Brian said and I said earlier. And at this point in time, in this juncture in this life, these Israelites, they didn't even have weapons. They didn't even have any means of fighting. They didn't have anything. Now, obviously, Saul and Jonathan did, which Saul is Jonathan's father. Obviously, they had weapons. They had a sword, and they were the only two. I'm going to go on and read this, and I want you to pay close attention to what it says here. Chapter 14 and verse 1 of 1 Samuel says, "Now it has come to pass upon the day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, Come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father." So I want to stop there, and I want to explain to you what he's doing here. So Jonathan has has come up to this point, and there are some rocks here, and there's like a great hill here with some treacherous terrain. And that's the thing that is between the Philistines and Jonathan and Saul and their few people that have come to fight. All the others have scattered. Well, Jonathan had something that was called an armor bearer. I don't know if you know what that is, but an armor bearer is something that that is appointed to an officer or a general or a captain or someone or a king of someone of great importance that carries their armor, carries their shield. They help them to don their armor, to put it on. They're there for them for life. Now, before we get started, I want to read to you a few things that I have gathered about an armor bearer and about what his duties were, because it's important to what God has to tell you today. So, an armor bearer is someone that strengthens his master, or the one that he's with. He's supposed to exalt him. He's supposed to have the utmost respect for him. He's supposed to agree with him, even when he doesn't agree with him. And he's supposed to submit himself to him. Imagine how hard it would be to choose an armor bearer for you, for yourself. He's supposed to repel any attack against him. He's supposed to praise him always in everything, especially in trouble and distress. He's supposed to keep watch for him while he sleeps. He's supposed to care for his belongings. He's supposed to aid in spiritual and physical combat. Are you all used to physical and spiritual combat? Probably not. Most of us are not. He's supposed to demonstrate extreme loyalty. And he's supposed to give his life freely. For his master. I think it's important that we understand the duties of an armor bearer. And so, not only does he carry all his things and helps him to prepare for battle, but he's right there with him in the battle. He's right there with him all of the time. Now I'm going to go on and read. In verse 2 it says, "And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron, and the people that were with him were about 600 men. And Ai, the son of Ahitub, and Ichabod, brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod. And the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. And between the passage, the passages, by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozes, and the name of the other was Sina. The forefront of the one was situate northward against Michmash, which is where the Philistines were, and the other southward over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, Come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said, and I want you to pay close attention to this. And his armor bearer said unto him, Do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Then said Jonathan, Behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus unto us, Tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand. And this shall be a sign unto us. And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistine, and the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us, and we will shew you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, I imagine the smirk on his face at this time. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. I could read on, and there's much more in the next few verses and all of that, but as you can imagine what had turned out from this, Jonathan's faith that he had, that he knew that God would take care of him. Now, I'm going to tell you, it was an army of Philistines that were angry, and they were out for revenge. They had grudged against the Israelites for years. And at this time, they invited Jonathan, and they probably thought, oh, well, we've got Saul's son. We've got him right here where we want him. It's just him and this little old armor bearer over here that we're going to take him out. Little did they know that God was there. And God is bigger than any army. God is bigger than anything that we could face in our lives, that Jonathan could ever face in his life. And we need to realize that during this time that Jonathan went up into him, up to them, that he had to have the greatest faith of any man. Now, I know that were many that are faithful in the Old Testament, and there are many accounts of them being faithful. Abraham is probably the father of faith. But I'm going to tell you that there are people in this Old Testament that there's small instances that may seem small to us, but this was huge to Jonathan. And I'm sure that it was huge to his armor bearer, because I would imagine that his armor bearer surely knew that he was going to die that day. But Jonathan had the faith in the Lord that he would be victorious that day. That he would overcome that day. There are many things about these few verses that I want to share with you today, and the mercy of God is one of them. I'm going to tell you that God's mercy, which Jonathan or Saul or none of the Israelites deserved any of the mercy that God bestowed upon them today, this day. None of them at all. The Philistines most certainly didn't deserve God's mercy. We today, we don't deserve God's mercy. I don't care what you think you've done in your life, or how great you might have helped people, or what you might have given to other people, but God's mercy is His to give. God's mercy is something that we need to be thoughtful of. And that when we pray and we bow our heads before Him, that we ask for His mercy. Because it is something to be beckoned of. And I'm going to tell you that not only did Jonathan have the faith that God was going to be merciful this day upon the Israelites, but he knew in his heart that God was with him. You've got to know it. Amen. You've got to know it to have the faith to be victorious. You just do. If any of you have ever been victorious in anything in your life with God, you will know that you have to have that faith, and you have to know that God is with you. So I was praying about this portion of Scripture, and I realized that, as I try to be an armor bearer for God, and I try to go into whatever battle it might be, most of them within myself, I'm going to tell you that as I try to do these things, I got to the point to where I realized that it was just so humbling to know that that God is the one that provides our armor. God is the one that provides our shield and our helmet and the gospel. And He provides everything that is there to protect us. He not only provides those things for us, but He is with us always, no matter what, till the end, even unto death. So as we try to be victorious in this life, which many of us may or may not feel you've been victorious in this life, I'm going to tell you that the only true way that we can be victorious in what we do here on earth today is to have the faith that Jonathan had. To obtain mercy that God might have the victory. Amen. Now, these few things that I mentioned here are just one instance that God talked about, that God showed us in the Old Testament. Just one thing. You can read many, many other things where the Israelite nation was victorious, where they were defeated, where they were held captive. There are many different things that have taken place. And some of the smallest things affected the Israelite nation in a great way. Just the small fact that Moses was floating down a river one day in a basket and was taken up by the Pharaoh's daughter. His mother surely didn't know his position in life or what God had planned for him. But there was a great dealing there. And God had had plans for him, and just like God has plans for you in this life. It doesn't matter what kind of job you have or where you live, I'm going to tell you the people that God has put in your life are there for a reason. They're there that God might have instituted a victory over death. That He might have instituted a victory over things that we struggle with in life. These people around you in your life are there to help. They're there to defeat. Some of them knock you down, some of them pick you up. But the only true victory is in God. Amen. That's where you're going to find your joy. That's where you're going to find the rest that you need. That's where Jonathan found it. You know, he didn't even tell his dad he was going over there. I can only imagine that his dad, Saul, was furious with him. I believe Jonathan knew the Lord, and I believe that he trusted in Him with everything he had. I believe he boasted in God in many ways. You just read throughout his life and you'll see that. I want to turn over to Psalms here for a minute. Find it, I don't know where I'm at. And I want to read a few verses here because I want everyone to realize today that the account of these things that are read in the Old Testament are profitable to us today. As many of you that may think that the Old Testament is just history or that it's something just to read about what has prepared Christ for our day or what has prepared the situation for Christ to come and to die and to rise again. And it was all that. It was all that. But I'm going to tell you that there are things that are applicable here that are important to our life today. That we can look back and we can see examples of faith. Examples of God feeding His people. Examples of God giving things that we don't deserve. Examples of God's mercy. I strengthen in that. I don't know about you, but those are things that I strive for, is to learn about what God's joy in my life is. And I know it's selfish. I know it is. But we're all selfish. If you really admit to yourself, you know you are. It's just simple. Everybody in this world today is selfish, some more than others. But ultimately, we are here not for ourselves, but for God. So as we come together, get together today, I hope that you're not here to appease yourself in any way or to make yourself comfortable. I know, you know, Tom takes care of the air conditioners here, and it's nice and cool in here, and I know that we have nice, comfortable seats, but that's not why we're here. I don't want any of those things to make you complacent in this service to Him. I want you to realize today that we are all here, and we have a short period of time to prepare for the coming of Christ. Because it's going to happen before we know it. And I don't know if you've read about the times and looked at the length of time of the Old Testament and the New Testament. But even when Christ was here in the Old Testament 2,000 some years ago, He said that this was the end of times. And that was then. So you can imagine where we're at today. So 6,000 some years later, we're at the point we are today. So you have to know, just by looking around, that we're this close. And that's just Brian's estimate. Where do you think we are? Do you think we have another day? Do you think that we have another moment? Because I'm not guaranteed any of it. And you aren't either. If you've been saved by God's grace and you're struggling with your spiritual life and you battle every day, or let's just say that you don't battle anymore and you've given up, I'm going to tell you that I've been there. I'm not proud of it, but I want to tell you that there is a way that you can obtain joy in God. And that is through His victory, through faith and mercy, because God's mercy endures forever. Amen. There is something about God that looks past this old flesh, that doesn't even look on sin. Because when I was saved, I know that He cast that sin behind Him, and that all He sees when He looks upon me is Christ in me. That's joy to me in itself. Just knowing that He is my armor bearer, just knowing that He is there to strengthen me, to help me. I'm not worthy of any of that. I'm not worthy of any of that. But God has made my soul righteous by the blood of the Lamb, by His Son that came and died for us, and rose again. The one that poured His blood out for us. That is why God is victorious in us. And every one of us has something to look at and to be joyful for in that alone. If nothing else, that is something that God has given us that we can be joyous about. I know we struggle with things in life, and many times I think, man, I've got so many things to do. My children need me, and if something happened to me, I like last night, I was on my way home, and I was at the airport, and this was the second plane that had a problem. And I'm sitting there praying, going, God, you know, if it's my time, it's my time. But I'm just going to tell you that they found that problem with that second plane, and it was something with the wing, and it was a mechanical issue. So they diverted us to another gate, and we went down there. And how relevant is that to life? And so everybody went down there, and we got down there, and we thought, oh, yeah, we're going to jump on this other plane down here. Well, they had to get it from the hangar. We had to wait for it. It had to come in. We waited a good hour, and then it got there, and it had issues. And I thought, man, I'm not sure I'm going to get on one of these planes. They got three of them so far. I'm kind of concerned about this. And then I remembered what I had prayed about earlier, about how I asked God just to make a way, whether it be for me to be there or for Brother Brian to stand today. He was my backup because I knew I'd be in late last night. And I'm going to tell you that God made a way. He got me here safely. And He was victorious in that. I struggled with that among myself, and I'm going to tell you that I shouldn't have, because I'm ready to go. It would have been gain for me to have died last night. And I know that my family would be sorrowful, at least I hope they would, and I know that they would have wanted me to be here on earth a little longer, but I'm going to tell you that I would have been so joyful over there that I wouldn't have had any worries or any cares or any sorrows like I have today. I have burdens. I have troubles. I have sorrows. I have needs. And I'm going to tell you that right now in my life, when God is with me, I'm victorious. And I can only be victorious by Him. My life is a living example of that in many ways, which I'm not going to get into today. Let's go to Psalms 130. Now, David's account here is about several things, but I love Psalms. There's so much importance and seems like grace in it that speaks to me. If you've never really read through there, there's some pretty good stuff in there. Psalms 130, it says, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand?" So he's saying that if you were to look at the iniquities of people, then nobody could stand. Nobody could stand before God. That's what Christ had done for us. I'm gonna keep moving. It says, "But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mightest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch the morning, for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption." You hear that, lost soul? The Lord, there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. "And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." That doesn't seem like that should be the end of that chapter, does it? Doesn't to me either. But I am going to skip over a couple. And I'm going to read in chapter 36. Because I want you to understand what God is telling us today about His mercies and His greatness. Just as a reminder to you that you might know without a shadow of a doubt that God has been with you in your life at some point in time. Even when I was lost and undone, I knew God was calling me to Him by His mercy. Through the Holy Spirit that He has given us, that calleth those to repentance, there is mercy. God's arm is not shortened. I want you to know that today. That God's arm is outstretched and it is strong enough to withhold anything that might come before you. I know there's several that are here that have been seeking after the Lord, and I want you to know today, I don't know what stands between you and God. I'm not real sure. I struggled with it for a long time myself. But there's no reason. There's no need for that. Amen. You just need to know that God has already won the battle. Amen. If He is calling you to repentance, come and repent. Give your life to Him. For that's the least you could do. He gave His for you. Psalms 136. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that made great lights, His mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for mercy, for His mercy endureth forever. And the moon to rule, and moon and stars to rule by night, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for His mercy endureth forever. Now you might get tired of me here. You might get tired of me saying that. But God had that put here for a reason. Amen. And I believe that God wants you to hear it today. And brought Israel from among them, as He did Jonathan and his armor bearer, for His mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, that's you, lost soul, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for His mercy endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for His mercy endureth forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that lead His people through the wilderness, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which smote great kings, for His mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for His mercy endureth forever. Now I know that the Bible talks about vain babblings and vain repetition. But I'm going to tell you, there's a difference between what's vain and what's not vain. You can say the same prayer over and over again if you are praying with all supplication. If you are praying with your heart and you ask God for the same thing continuously, I don't believe that to be in vain. I don't believe that to be vain repetition. I do believe some of it to be a lack of faith. Because I'm going to tell you that once you ask God for something, it's not like He doesn't hear you. He hears all prayers. He hears all of our prayers of His people. God is there for us that we might obtain mercy. And Og, verse 20, and Og, the king of Bashan, for His mercy endureth forever, and gave their land for an heritage, for His mercy endureth forever, even an heritage unto Israel, His servant, for His mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for His mercy endureth forever, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, for His mercy endureth forever. Amen. Who giveth food to all flesh, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. I want you to step back with me to the time that Jonathan decided that he was going to go up unto the Philistines. Not only did he know that God had brought him through other battles in his life, not only did he know that he had been victorious by having faith in God, and that God was merciful and able to deliver any of his enemies to him at any time. But he knew, without a shadow of a doubt, that day that God would answer that calling. Sometimes you have to sit and wonder what might have happened if things went the other way. It doesn't matter. I wonder about it sometimes, and I always try to look at every aspect of every situation. But I'm going to tell you, in this situation, it doesn't matter because God was victorious. Jonathan was faithful in his doings, and I believe that was a fruit that was there that Jonathan had bore before all of Israel. Not only before Saul himself, which was his dad, because he had the faith that he needed to go up against a huge army that everybody else was afraid to go up against. Now, I know we all know the story of David and the giant. David and Goliath. But I'm going to tell you that this was Jonathan and many Goliaths. Sometimes we go up against one giant. We go up against one thing in our life that may seem huge and may seem troublesome. But with the faith of God and with the mercy of God, we can accomplish anything. We can do anything that we need to. And even though some things may seem selfish unto us, I think it's important that we pray that God's will be done in whatever we're doing. Amen. Because we can get away from ourselves. I know that this God gave us this mind to think with, but sometimes it gets us in trouble. Sometimes it leads us off the path a little bit. That's what prayer's for. Supplication to God, submission to Him, that we might obtain mercy that endureth forever. I want you to know today that God's mercy in my life is something that is enormous because of the simple fact that, for starters, I never ever thought that I deserved to be saved by His grace. I still look back and I think, why would God ever save a wretch like me? And then I realized that God put my wife in my life for a reason. And I realized that He put my kids there for a reason, each and every one of them. And I realized that He put this church here for a reason in my life, even though as I might not have been able to see it then, but I can see it today. And I can look back at the times and I can remember when God was there with us in times of trouble and distress, when we had the faith that we needed to overcome in His victory, not ours. Many times that I look back and I see that God was in our lives, it helps me to know even more that God has saved my soul and that God is with me in my life. It never crosses my mind that I might not be saved because of the simple fact that God assures me all of the time. And that's God's mercy today. I'm going to tell you today that there is no reason in this world that we should be without joy and without hope. The Bible teaches us joy and hope throughout the whole thing from front to back. God's divinely inspired word has given us something that we can take and we can use in our lives as an implement in our lives, as a tool, that we could take it and live by it. But we have to consume it. We have to understand it and we have to know it. In order to do that, you have to dig a little. Now, I know to some of you here, this message may seem a little bit on the shallow side, but I'm going to tell you today that I really prayed about this, and I really looked at this, and I wanted God to be victorious today, and I want Him to be victorious in your life, every one of you. Amen. When we go out these doors, this isn't the end of the service. This isn't the end of the happiness or the spiritual time that we're feeling, or you're bored from my message or whatever that may be. That's the time that we go out and we can be victorious for God. And we can go out into this world and we might be a light to someone that's out there. That they might be able to see Jesus in us as God does. I think back about the Old Testament and when Moses was up there with God at the burning bush. And I think about that often because I think, man, if I was standing there before God, I would be so fearful even to hear His voice. If you heard God's voice today, what would He say to you? If you truly heard His audible voice, would you be scared? Would you have a fearful heart? I'm talking to those that are saved. I often think back about how Moses had many times that he had went before God and God had told him to do something. And I'm sure that Moses didn't want to do it in many situations. And it even says that there was a controversy or a little struggle there with Moses in times. I'm going to tell you that anytime God tells us to do something, it is going to be contrary to our nature. It's going to be the opposite of what this old mind and flesh really wants to do or really thinks should be done. So we need to go outside of whatever we're thinking, and we need to start to listen to what God has to tell us. And oh, how gracious He'll be in our lives, and how merciful He will be. I know I need Him in my life. I couldn't live without Him. I often think back about how my life would be today if I hadn't sought after God at the time that I did and when I did and when God saved me. I just can't imagine. I just can't imagine where I'd be or what I'd be. But God has brought me to this point today. And I just pray that God is merciful in your life and that you might be victorious over whatever battles you struggle with. And that those that are lost, that they might realize that God is there always. That God's arm is not shortened. That as long as you are taking a breath, that that's a moment of mercy. That as long as this world is living and not burning in fire and brimstone, that is a moment of mercy for you to seek after Him. That's just one more moment that you have with God. I'm going to ask Brother Devin if you get a song. I'm going to end with that. I want you all to search your hearts today. I don't know what God has in store for the remainder of this service, but I want you to know that my God is capable of all things. If you're lost, I think you really need to seek Him right now. I don't think that there's a moment of mercy that's greater than right now for you. You know, we go down to the nursing homes and we talk to them and they're older. Everyone there is up in age. And we all know that their physical life is going to shortly come to an end. And they're obviously there because they're sick and afflicted in life. And they struggle with health problems. But I'm going to tell you that the one thing that's worse than any health problem is a lost soul. The struggle of being lost and undone is something that's worse than any issue you could deal with in life. And we go down there when we do and we preach to them, hoping that there might be one that's saved. But I'm going to tell you right now that God's mercy is going to be done for them one day. When they die, it's going to be done. It's going to be over. And if they haven't found their peace with God, if they haven't been saved by His grace, it's going to be too late. So that's why we go down there. That's why we are burdened with that. I'm also burdened with those that are here that haven't given us a testimony of salvation. And I struggle with that. When I pray for you. I want you to know that. I think that it's important that you find God before it's too late. Even though those people are well stricken in age and they're sick, that doesn't mean because you're young and healthy, doesn't mean that God can't take you out today. None of that matters. God knows when that time is. So it's time to seek after God. And I just pray today that you do before it's too late.